Mark Masters joined us. And Mark, it's really kind of amazing when you consider in the last 63 majors in tennis, Federer, Nadal, and Djokovic have won 53 of them. Like, they have all dominated, and they've had to play one another in doing so. It really makes you wonder, if two of them weren't there, how many majors the other guy would have? Maybe 30 at this point.
Yeah, it's an incredible generation. I mean, you don't often see the three greatest players of all time all competing at the same time, and they've been the most dominant at Wimbledon since Federer won his first in 03. It's been the big three plus Murray. They've collected all of the Wimbledon trophies. Got Federer sitting on eight, and now Djokovic has got five, and Nadal's got a couple, Murray's got a couple. So no one has been able to break through. In this tournament, that was even emphasized more because they were kind of cruising through the draw, making a joke of some of the players they were playing, and the matches were just flying by. So they were on a collision course from the start, and they lived up to the hype. The big three this year, they put on a show at Wimbledon.
Well, what's funny is if you look at coming up to the U.S. Open, that's the best chance the rest of the field has, because since 2004, you've actually had four times somebody else has won that tournament, where it's only twice when you break down the other three at Wimbledon, the French Open, and Australian Open. So if somebody is going to upset those three, it's likely going to come later this year.
Yeah, it's the end of the season. You get the sense that these guys, the big guys who have been playing deep into pretty much every tournament they play all year, get a bit fatigued. Maybe someone can zone in and beat them. We've seen, you know, Marin Cilic in 2014, big serving Croatian, win his one and only Grand Slam there. You know, obviously Stan Wawrinka's got one, Andy Murray's got one in recent years. So we've seen some breakthroughs there. And so maybe that will throw a curveball into the mix. It's also the only Grand Slam where Federer and Nadal have never played a match, which is still mind-boggling to me. So, you know, the folks in New York are still waiting for that to happen. So it'll be intriguing to see how the summer plays out now. Is Djokovic going to be emboldened by what's played out? He's now got four of the last five slams. Is Federer going to need time to regroup? We know he's skipping Montreal. He's going to come back for Cincinnati, which is a tournament he's had a lot of success at. Will that be the perfect run-up for him? And then where's Rafa Nadal going to be after a tough loss to Federer in the semis? In a really, really compelling match. And it's going to, the stage is set. And then can someone from the young generation finally jump up and break through? So it's really quite a compelling time in men's tennis right now.
You watch a lot of it, Mark. Who do you feel is ready to step up from the young generation and start battling these guys consistently? Anyone?
No one. No one has proven it. Certainly not at the big events. They've all kind of underachieved at Grand Slams. Just in the first round of Wimbledon this year, we were without, you know, Dominic Thiem, Tsitsipas, Sasha Zverev's going through some doldrums this year. We have high hopes for Felix Auger-Aliassime, young Canadian, obviously 18 years old. He made his Wimbledon debut, made the third round, which is actually quite impressive, even though he was pretty disappointed with how he played in losing to someone ranked well below him. So maybe he'll be the guy to do it, but he probably needs a little bit more seasoning. Yeah, it's no one seems ready to do it. I mean, these guys are just that good. They're in the minds of these kids, this next generation, that no one seems to be able to break through. And they've already obviously bypassed one generation, the Milos Raonic generation, with Kei Nishikori and Grigor Dimitrov, and that generation has already been bypassed. It feels like, and now everyone's looking to that next gen. And so far, none of them really. I wouldn't say any of them look particularly poised to do anything. I mean, Tsitsipas beat Federer at the Australian Open. That's a pretty big win. He played a classic against Wawrinka at the French and lost at five. So maybe he's got pole position of that group right now, I'd say.
Mark Masters joins us. Mark, I was looking, Federer at one stretch between 05 to 07. He won 8 of 12 majors. And the only time he lost was when Nadal won both times at the on clay at the French Open, which obviously he's the greatest clay player. I don't think there's any debate on that one. You look at Djokovic now, and now he has won 5 of 8 before over a two-year span, and he has now won four of the last five, and could tie, I guess, 5 of 8. Is Djokovic, in your eyes now, the best player of the three today?
At this moment, for sure. Right now, he's played You know, he just won Wimbledon. And amazingly, I think the greatest accomplishment, that the greatest thing I can say about how he just won Wimbledon was he wasn't, I don't think, at his best level. And that's what he admitted afterwards. But he was just so mentally strong. I was boarding my flight home this morning thinking to myself, how did Roger Federer not win that match yesterday? I mean, unbelievable that he didn't face a break point to the fourth set against the greatest returner ever and somehow lost three tie breaks. It was just unfathomable to me. He was up 5-3 in that first set tiebreak. So Djokovic's mental strength is incredible right now. He just has the ability to kind of hang in and get it done in the big moments. And really, his clutch credentials, he might go down as one of the greatest clutch players, you know, saving championship points to beat, you know, an eight-time Wimbledon champion. That's incredible. And this, gosh, this greatest of all time debate keeps getting more interesting because he now has the head-to-head. He's got the head-to-head against Nadal and Federer, and he's four back. Like, that, the history on the line yesterday, you know, the swing, you know, Federer at 20, Djokovic going in at 15. I mean, he closes the gap to four. He's got all the momentum. Federer's wondering if his last best chance just went by. Nadal, obviously, has got physical issues. Is Djokovic going to just pass these guys? I mean, the smart money might be on that right now, just the way he's been playing, and we know how good he's been on the hard court. So, yeah, right now he's the guy. He is the guy, and it's going to be really, really interesting. The next 2 years are going to be huge in terms of determining the legacies of these guys and who ends up going down as really kind of the greatest of all time.
Mark Masters joins us from TSN. Yeah, Djokovic, just because of his age, is going to have the advantage over the next immediate future, the next decade, just because I know right now Federer looks ageless, but at some point it catches up with everyone.
For sure. I mean, Federer was trying to become the oldest player to win a single Grand Slam. I mean, so what he's been doing is unheard of, to be still kind of playing for these big moments. But, you know, when will Father Time catch up with him? Nadal obviously is more in Djokovic's age bracket, Djokovic a year younger than him, but he's had the knee issues. Djokovic had a minor elbow thing, but he's actually kind of Gumby-esque. He finds a way to just keep coming back. So he's kind of, you're wondering if there's going to be a string of slams here where he's just unopposed. He's made the point a number of times that the reason he's so good is he's pushed by Nadal and Federer, and he would not be as good if he did not play in this era, because he's been forced out of his comfort zone. He's been forced to find ways to compete with these guys and beat with these guys and want to be part of that conversation. And they've elevated him. And who knows, they may elevate him right past both of them. He's maybe underappreciated at times. Certainly, he's, when the big three are playing, he's rarely the crowd favorite in those matches. I certainly wasn't yesterday, that's for sure. And yet he finds a way to be able to overcome that. And persevere, and maybe we're not appreciating just how amazing a player he's been.
Mark, what about Shapovalov? What has lacked in his game this year?
Yeah, that's a tough question to answer because I think it's between the years right now. He had a great run to the semifinals at Miami. I mean, that's one of the biggest events of the year. Lost to Federer there in the semifinals. And after that time, he split with his coach, went from Rob Steckley back to his junior coach, Adriano Floridia. So that raised eyebrows just because he was coming off a great result. And since then, you know, clay maybe isn't thought of as his best surface. And he had a really rough clay court season, felt like he got some tough draws and could not get in a rhythm. And that just kind of carried over to the grass. And he gave a pretty, I thought, revealing media session after his first round upset at Wimbledon to a player ranked well below him, Barrancas. And he said, you know what, I got to talk to someone because it's between the years. I'm not playing the big points well right now. He mused about potentially seeking out a sports psychologist. And he just says he needs to talk this out. So he'll be going back to Montreal this summer, which is the site of his greatest tennis life moment to date. I mean, obviously the Wimbledon junior title certainly probably ranks up high for him, but to beat Rafa Nadal on home soil is got to be up there. It's got to be his number one thing. So he's going back there. Maybe he'll get some positive vibes, play in Washington, but he's got to find a way to kind of figure things out between the years right now.
Mark Masters from TSN joins us. What about Gabby Dombrowski? Of course, loses in the women's doubles final yesterday, but you know, she's really, you know, she's won some majors. She's really kind of emerged. There's a lot of talk about all the singles, but No, she's one of Canada's best tennis players right now.
Yeah, you talk about Djokovic getting overlooked. Gabby Dabrowski's been excellent. She's been knocking on the door. She made the semis at Wimbledon last year and really had a tough third set. Her and her partner, Julie Zhu of China, they lost a tight three-setter in the semis last year where they were up a break in that final set. And then in the quarterfinals of the French Open last month, they had a match point where they could have gone to the semis there. And they had a great tournament. I felt for her because that match was scheduled to be played on Saturday night. It was supposed to go women's championship match, men's doubles, women's doubles, and the men's doubles ended up being a five-hour epic that pushed, and they didn't want to start the women's doubles so late because they have a curfew that can't go past 11 p.m. there, so they pushed it back till after the men's singles, and then that was, so she did a lot of waiting, and for someone who was playing in her first women's doubles Grand Slam, her and her partner both, they certainly didn't look locked in right at the start of that match after the Federer-Djokovic epic, and they couldn't quite get it on track in time to make it a compelling match. But still, she's going in the right direction. She's targeting, really, Tokyo next year in the Olympics. That's kind of what she's building up to, and she's off to a great start right now.
Now, she has won a major at the French Open mixed doubles and then again the Australian Open in mixed doubles. Have you talked to her? Does she like mixed or female doubles better?
I don't think she necessarily has a favorite. Obviously, they only play the mixed at the Grand Slams, and actually, you know, everyone was so fixated on the tiebreak in the men's championship match. Gabby Dabrowski actually played a mixed doubles tiebreak. She was the second ever match. There was three matches that got to 12-12. She was the second one and the first one in mixed doubles, and they lost a real heartbreaker in a match where they had a match point. Her and her partner Monty Pavic. I don't think she has a favorite. They also play mixed doubles at the Olympics now, so she's certainly got to have her eye on that in terms of creating another chance for a medal. We'll see if what shakes out in terms of the partnerships that she may be able to form. But she's a contender in both. That's for sure. She made the final at the French Open in mixed doubles and lost. It's a nice way, obviously, to supplement the paycheck, keep grinding on tour. I don't think she, I've never asked her that question. I know she's mentioned that she likes playing against the men because it's a different type of ball she's facing, a faster ball, a different spin, and she feels more, you know, comfortable and confident when she goes back into women's double, having faced a mixed doubles court. So I think they complement each other well.
And quickly, what did you make of Serena Williams getting waxed in the women's final?
Dude, that was bizarre. That was really weird because no one saw that. Like, and maybe we should have because Simona Halep had been playing great and only lost one set the whole tournament. It was back in the second round. And she's got the game to beat Serena Williams, although she just hasn't done it in the past. She lost 9 of 10 matches to Serena. And Williams just was never in the match. And this is now she's played in 3 Grand Slam finals since becoming a mom and since coming back. And she's lost in straight sets in all of them and kind of not been in it. And she melted down, of course, at the U.S. Open last year. And got into it with the umpire and all that. And she's lost to, you know, Naomi Osaka last year. It was Angelique Kerber. This year it's Simona Halep at Wimbledon, where a lot of people think that's her best chance to win a slam, just like Federer right now. That would be her best surface. And she was just never in the match. Halep had a great game plan. She moved her around. Williams never got comfortable. And you just wonder if she's ever going to get that elusive 24th to tie Margaret Court for the most all time. Maybe that's weighing on her, putting pressure on her. If that's another compelling storyline moving forward, because it's just rare to see her look that outclassed on the tennis court.
It is rare. Mark, great stuff. I appreciate it. Get some rest.
Will do. Thanks.